A new morning, a new day, the Lord you have given to each one of us. Lord, for the very life and the very breath that we have right now, we thank and we praise you and we are grateful to you. Heavenly Father, we pray that we will be the children who love you, and the Lord Jesus will always be the most precious person in our life. Lord, even as we come together to learn of your word once again, and may thou stir us, Lord, may thou encourage and strengthen our heart, for this heart of ours is truly one that is often hardened and cold and hard. Lord, may we find great joy and delight to come before your presence, to have our Lord and Savior Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Know him as the most precious person because of what he has done for us. Lord, may thou speak to us. Lord, may thou cause us that today will be a day that we will hear your voice and we will not harden our heart against you. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, I gave you a homework to do. You still remember? I didn't forget, right? Yesterday I gave you a homework to do and I asked you while you lie on your bed and you toss yourself on the bed and you can't sleep. I asked you, why did Jesus say it is a new commandment? Right, in John chapter 13. What is a new commandment? You still remember? Jesus said, a new commandment I gave unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one for another. So I ask you this question, since I know most of you cannot sleep in the night. Right? Why did Jesus say it's a new commandment? Because I shared with you that in the Old Testament, it is not telling us that we must hate our enemies, we must only love those who love us. In the Old Testament, it's the same law. It's still the same commandment that we must love our enemies, we must love everyone. So why did Jesus say it's a new commandment? Anybody was tossing on your bed last night and you couldn't say and you got the answer? The time where the Lord Jesus in the New Testament, you find that the teachers of the law in the synagogue, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were actually, they tweaked the whole Old Testament law. They change the Old Testament law and they make it such that you don't have to really love your enemies, and they make the law such that it is not what the Lord has actually intended in the Old Testament. And they find that they abused, they rejected all those publicans, the sinners. And so the whole Old Testament law that was really the right teaching of God has been altogether abused. And so the Lord Jesus came and he revealed them and he showed them what is true love, what is actually been taught, what is the right perspective of love. And so in that sense, the Lord said it's a new commandment. The Lord has renewed it, the Lord has made it clear the right perspective so that all the people can understand. So the word new commandment is understood in that meaning. Not new that the Old Testament does not have it, that Old Testament has it, but new because in the context of the people, the Lord reminded them how to truly love one another. Right? The second reason why it's called a new commandment, right? Because it is new because the Lord Jesus spoke it. Right? It is a new lawgiver. The Lord is present now, the Lord Jesus is with them, and so the Lord Jesus told them from his own mouth. So in a sense, from him and hearing from him the first time is a new commandment. So you can understand that particular two reasons. That's why it is called a new commandment. Alright, it shows that the mind is not very active, right? Not thinking much. I think the body is very tired. That's the usual case, eh? I come back to the last day of the camp, the body is very tired. So the last message, usually we try to shorten it. Such that you can listen, but I normally when I preach, I don't really look at the time. So I don't know how long I preach. So you stop me, if you're going to fall asleep. But you stand on the chair, Right? Okay, let's do a quick revision. What is the campaign verse again? What is the campaign verse? 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 7. See?
Unto you therefore which believe, it is precious.
So again, looking at the textbook. Find the answer. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He, Jesus, is precious. What is our camp objective?
Moving
forward together in Christ. And so this camp, we study this phrase in the book of Hebrews, let us. And so all together, we are studying 11 verses from the book of Hebrews with the word let us. So it's all printed in your camp book. And we first started with Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, verse 11, verse 16. And say that this journey, remember, we start with who? We start with the promise of salvation rest. The promise of salvation in Jesus Christ. And so, we all must arrive and must start at the same starting point. If we do not have true salvation in Jesus, then we cannot say, let us. It is impossible. It is a different journey. And so this journey together must start with, let us fear sin, fear the condemnation of sin, and let us have the promise of salvation rest. So that's how we begin this journey. And then the Lord promised us in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 11, the end point, the destination point of our journey. Remember what's the destination point? What's the destination point? Heaven, yes, heaven rest. That rest is called heaven rest. And that journey will bring us to the final goal in heaven. And then we learn in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 that this journey together is one that God promised us two things. Must remember, well, these two things very important. Grace and mercy. God's grace and God's mercy in this journey together. And God said, any time you need, He will give. Any moment you need, He will give. And let me say that each one of us need that. We will face trials, difficulties, problems, struggles, stress, decisions to make. And so we must ask for grace, for mercy. And so that is the journey. That's our first message. So I'm always repeating because I want you to remember. So that after the camp, it will stay with you in your heart. Now the second message, we say that in this journey together, we must grow together. We must grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just grow physically, All of you have grown physically, Rounder? Taller? not rounder, And you have really grown, but we must grow together spiritually. And to grow together spiritually, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, the first thing that we must grow together is in the Word of God. In the Word of God. So I always say to young people, to young adults, grow up! Time to grow up! Don't be like a baby, don't be still drinking milk. The Bible says, time to grow up! And so we make sure that we all grow up to learn God's Word, to learn God's Word, and not just to take the milk of God's Word, but to learn the meat of God's Word. And so I challenge you, and I want to challenge you, and I hope that after this camp, every one of us will make sure that our quiet time is part and parcel of our spiritual life. Can you say that? If 1 times 10 years still equal to 1, that means you're still, after 10 years as a Christian, still a 1-year-old baby Christian. How sad it is, right? How sad it is. After 10 years as a Christian, you still struggle and say, I cannot do my quiet time. How sad it is. So the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, right, let's move on, let's go on together to perfection, let's be a mature person. Right, everyone wants to be mature, right? Nobody wants to be called childish. But let's be mature spiritually. Let's make sure that our grounding in God's Word is strong. We love God's Word. And then second area of growth, we must grow together in this journey. Is in what? In faith. In faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We must be strong in faith. We must not waver in our faith. So don't always say, oh, how's a Christian like? Up, down. It's still what? You do average out, in mathematics, it's still like that. Nothing, no growth at all. No growth at all. Up, down. Sine curve, right? You know, sine? Ever, you know? I forgot, Right, sine curve. Right, you average out, it's nothing. You don't grow. So we must grow in faith. The Bible says we must have a full assurance of faith. And we must not waver. A lot of times we waver. Why? Because we look at surrounding. Circumstances. Ah, it's so difficult. We get stressed. We waver. We forget God. So the Bible says, let us grow in God's word. Let us grow in faith together. And then, the third message last night. In this journey together, not only must we grow together in God's word in faith, we must also be accountable to one another. So it's not a journey that you run by yourself. Bye bye. You're left behind. Sorry. Right? It's not a journey that people are left behind and you say, sorry, I've got no time for you. It is not. It is a journey that we must move together. We must be responsible for each other. We must be accountable to each other. And so I say to you last night that you must say two things to each other. Now, can you turn back, turn to your side, each other, and say to each other now. What do we say? What did I tell you to say? I am responsible for your spiritual well-being. Now, say. Turn to each other and say, I am responsible for your spiritual well-being. Wow, it's a big statement. And second thing that you must say to each other is what? I must not stumble you. Okay, now you say. Now you say to each other. I must not stumble you.
Excuse me, you must not stumble
you. What did you say? You must not stumble me. No. The journey, remember the Bible says, let us, you must beat me. It's always what? It's always, remember last time I said, it's your treatment of others, always how you treat others. They may not respond to you, they may not treat you the best way, they may even ignore you. But our responsibility to God, to each other, is that I must be responsible, I must take care, I must help you in your spiritual well-being. It's a big statement. Don't just say, take care of the person beside you, in front of you. Take care, not just his or her food. I know you all cook good food, right? But take care, most of all, of his or her spiritual well-being. That's the most important thing. So when you look at the person beside you, always ask, how are you spiritually? This one question, can you ask yourself? Not just far away, How are you spiritually? How are you spiritually? It's a very important question. Ask each other sometimes along your life journey, how are you spiritually? What can I do to help you, to support you? It's always offering yourself to help, to support. And then I must not stumble you. Make sure that your life bears an important testimony. I must not stumble you. And so the Bible reminds us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, right? We learned last night. Consider one another. Consider. Be considerate. Take care of one another. Be considerate. Kindly be affectionate to one another. Forgive one another. Don't bear grudge against one another. Provoke one another to what? To love God. To good works. And then we learn that we all must be example. Example. Good testimony. And how to be a good testimony? Two things. Three things, right? Number one, put away your weight. You keep having a lot of weight, always loving the world, always murmuring, always complaining, you cannot be a good testimony. Number two, put away your besetting sin. Something that you are always falling to sin. When you fall into sin, remember, it is not just yourself in misery, you affect everybody around the whole group. And so I must not stumble you. Pray to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Lord, help me. Last night, I was in the other group. Sharing. So, Desmond asked us, right? Share about your way or your besetting sin. So, I share. You know what's my besetting sin? One of it that I know in my heart that I struggle with. I love sometimes to climb the corporate ladder. You know, whatever position I am, sometimes I wish, I can be the next level. If I'm a manager, I wish I can be a deputy director. I wish I can be a director. And so this struggle is real in my heart, and I just have to pray. If I succumb to it, and I go all out for it, I know I will stumble. Many of you know. So I pray to the Lord, and I struggle, and ask the Lord to help me. So Sharon told me, Uncle John also like that one. Uncle John isn't like you, you know, a man, flesh and blood also has struggle. But every time we come to besetting sin, what do? and he comes and Satan will attack us. We just have to pray, cling on to the Lord, ask the Lord for help, for forgiveness, for grace, for mercy. That's what we ought to do. And then, right, last night, we also talked about what? The third thing is what? Run the race with patience. Run this race with patience. We are together. Remember, we are together. Don't leave anyone behind in this race. Don't say you're too slow. Oh, don't give. I'm going to run ahead. Don't do that. We are together. We have to run it patiently. It is a marathon. We have to do it together. And we'll help, support each other. Those who are weak, help them, carry them. Those who are stronger, help the weak. Those who are slower, and the rest are faster, don't mind, you try your best to catch up. So together, we run this Christian race with patience. Right, so that's what we learned yesterday. We are responsible for each other, we are accountable to each other. Alright, today, we're going to learn our fourth and last message. And can you turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12 verse, and let's read this verse. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 28. Let's read together. Hebrews 12 verse 28, and we shall learn and see that in this journey what we must do. Hebrews 12 verse 28, 1, 2, go. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now I want to say that this journey is full of grace, full of mercy. We know the end point. We know that we must grow together in this journey. We cannot be stagnant. We must be mature. We must grow up. And in this journey, we must be accountable. We must take care of each other. Now the last message I want to share to you is that this journey is a journey of servanthood. This journey is a journey that we must serve. And it's a lowly path of service. And so in this journey together, you and I must walk the path of service. You and I is not going to say, oh, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be the king, the prince, the princess. And everything must serve me, must take care of me, must regard me. It is not. The Bible says to us very clearly, Hebrews chapter 12 verse 28, we have received a kingdom. Right, heavenly kingdom, we have the promise of God. God has given to us by His grace and mercy this wonderful kingdom in heaven. Let us be king, let us enjoy ourselves. No, listen carefully. Let us have grace that we may what? Serve God. Can you see? That we may what? Serve God. And so this journey is a journey of service. It's not for us to relax, be comfortable, enjoy, right? Just eat, fellowship, grow fat, eat, fellowship. It's not that. It's not, right? It is one of our service, and it is not easy to be a servant. I'm sure in our midst we have seen domestic helpers, right? Actually, it is a very tough life for them. Sometimes, if you one day have your own domestic helper, be merciful, right? Because it is not easy for someone to leave their own country all the way, and then in a new environment, and you just work and serve, and he asks you to do this, you have to go there, you go. You just have to follow instruction. But the Bible tells us that you and I are servants. You and I, as we journey this together, we are called to be what? To serve, to be servants. And so this is very important that I hope that we all remember this. Now go back to Hebrews chapter 12 verse 28, and I want you to see this verse, and I want you to learn the important lesson to be a servant. As we journey, the Bible tells us, we have received a kingdom which cannot be moved. Now it's a very interesting phrase that this kingdom, this destination that we are all going towards, the kingdom of God, heaven, cannot be moved. It is permanent, it is fixed, it will never go away, it is not temporary. And this is going to be our life goal, our life purpose. Many of us ask ourselves this question, what is my purpose in life? You know, as you grow older, you have this thing called midlife crisis. Have you got it? Uncle John has gone through it. Right? Midlife crisis. You know, when people have midlife crisis, what do? They run a marathon. Sometimes you want to do something different. You want to do something different, and you want to challenge yourself, and you think that you can achieve. And sometimes you go do a lot of foolish things, huh? Just because of midlife crisis. You just quit your job, you say, I want to stay at home and look at the fish. And swim and swim there. And you think, wow, this is very therapeutic. Wow, very nice. I have to relieve my stress. Are you thinking of that? Right? A lot of us live our life, we dream, we think we can find purpose. If I can finish a marathon, 42 kilometers, I've achieved, I've made it in my life, I've reached my life goal. After you've done 42 kilometers, no, nothing great. Oh, I must go for 100 kilometers, right? And then we find that our life is just drifting, and we achieve our goal. Here, there, I must do this, I must do that, I must quit my job. But really, there's only one thing that is permanent. There's only one thing that is fixed. Not anything on earth. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 8, the kingdom that is there in heaven, that is one that is permanent, that cannot be moved. And this is going to be our life goal. And this must be what we all must look to and must look forward to and must fix our eyes on. And that has to be our life purpose. I want to share this to you, that anything on earth, you said it is nice for a while, but it is gone. The young man who was getting married, also excited, really excited. But it's just a marriage, you know? It's still temporary, right? Your wife, your husband cannot be with you forever. And I get my first car. Wow, I tell you, really nobody, man, every week I polish the car, you know. I polish the car, it is so something that you think, wow, finally, I got my first car in my life. And you thought, I achieved, I made it. But it's, again, you just wear out. Your first kid coming, very excited. Wait till she grow older. Look at you. When you know you, when you speak a bit louder, give you a black face. So nice to have a kid. Yeah, nice. Wait till they grow up. Not that nice after all. Alright, is that how you treat your parents? Aha, right? Don't tell me, you never tend to give your parents a black face. You see, a lot of things, anything on earth, is always nice, always beautiful. Wow, the branded bag I have, wow, the Nike shoe that I wear. But everything on earth is not permanent. It will wear out, and if you fix your eyes, that's my life purpose, and I get it, I will be happy. You will not be happy. I tell you, dearly beloved, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 tells us, there's one thing that will not be moved, that's permanent. And if you and I say, that is my life goal, my life purpose, then you will stay firm. You will stay firm. You will stay fixed. Your eyes is on heaven. That's how you and I must put. Say, what is the purpose in life? What is the purpose in life? Are you struggling and ask yourself, midlife crisis, whatever crisis you go through, what is the purpose in life? If heaven is not my purpose, my goal, then all else is not going to help me. And so, as we start this journey is one of service. This journey is one to be a servant, and this journey, we must not be moved from our life purpose, and that is our heavenly goal. Heaven is a place that we will be there. And so the Bible says, if heaven is our goal, our life purpose, and we're going to reach there, then what must we do? What must we do? Not enjoy life. Verse 28, we must have what? Have grace whereby we may serve God. Serve God. That's what you and I must do. Serve God. When you serve in the church, you're not serving the leaders. You're not serving yourself, but you're serving God. So the word is very clear. We must, in this journey, in our life purpose, we have a purpose, we know our purpose, and we must serve God. We must be a servant of the Lord. Serving is not easy. Because to serve means you are what? A servant. And to be a servant, as I said, it is a hard life. But then what the Lord has called us to do, you and I must serve. Must be willing to go down to the lowly place. We must be willing to take up anything that we want to do for the Lord. We all like to relax, right? Relax, and we don't like to really do something. So the Lord said we must serve Him. And how to serve Him? Look at the verse there. How to serve Him? What kind of attitude? The Bible says we must serve God, and to be acceptable, we must serve God with what? With reverence. Number one. Number two, with what? With godly fear. Now the word reverence means what? You must serve, and you must understand that this is what? This is not a cheap high task. Reverence, you must serve God with reverence. This is held in high regard, in high respect. So every work that we do for Jesus, remember, it must be done in reverence. It is serious, it is proper, it is held in high regard, with high respect, and that's how we should serve the Lord in. So any one of us, in any work that we do for the Lord, it must be done with reverence. Reverence. Serious, proper. Don't say, I'm just doing eye crowd. Just eye crowd, I mean, how do was on your mind? No, it's not, you're going to do it with reverence. Whatever we do and serve the Lord, make sure it is with reverence. Don't take it for granted. Don't come and say, I'm the chairman today. I am the one. Let's pick up a hymn and then choose any song. It is not. You take it so lightly. You're serving the Lord, you're serving God. Do it with reverence. Do it. You know, this is a high, important task. Seriously, do it well for the Lord. And that's how we're going to serve the Lord. That each one of us, we're going to serve the Lord this way. And I hope that we will all, in every area that God has put us in, it's not just for the preacher. You wish that you are a preacher, do you wish? Wow, I wish I'm like Uncle John. Wow, I can preach. You know what I'm wishing now? I'm wishing I'm like you, sitting there now, listening to God's word. I wish I'm like Alan, can play the guitar. Like, never happened. 1976, I do nothing and all that. Right? I wish I'm like AJ, can go out and come. But I cannot. Every time I go mission trip, actually, you know what the children can do? I'm the worst. Really, I'm the worst. I cannot do one. I just go there and pass my exam. I class session. Because I cannot really do it. Somehow, I just don't have it. I wish I'm like, till now, can fix all the things with his hand. Right? I'm an engineer, but I only engineer by top only, on the theory, but I cannot do the work one. I wish I wasn't like you. But the Lord has given us different gifts, and whatever God has given us in your area, whatever God has given to you, we learn that spiritual gift. We just do for the Lord and serve the Lord and do it acceptably with reverence to the Lord. And so I want to say this, remember this phrase, three words, finish the job. Do it with reverence means what? Finish the job. A lot of us, very enthusiastic, I want to serve the Lord, I'm ready. And then, we do it halfway, three-quarter way, never finish the job. Never do it completely. With reverence means that it's held highly, it is held with high regard, with high respect for the Lord. So finish the job. Very easy, yeah? Finish the job. Whatever you are assigned to do, finish the job. When the camp is over, finish the job. Don't say bye-bye. Oh, that's going to clear the whole place by himself. Sorry. Finish the job together. Let's clear up. Let's pack up together. Finish the job. Right, after the whole cooking is done, what do you do? Finish the job. Someone has to do the washing, right? Finish the job. And so, when we serve the Lord, serve and complete everything and do it with high regard, with reverence. And then the Bible says what? Do it with what? With godly fear. With godly fear. Serve the Lord in this journey. Don't do it for man. Don't do it because of man, but do it for God and fear God. That's why you are serving. Why is it that sometimes people come and say, I don't want to serve anymore? Because when I serve, these people never say a word of thanks to me. When I serve, people are angry with me. I want to quit. A lot of us serve, why? Because we just look at men. If you say thank you to me, I continue to serve. If you don't say, I will stop serving. But the Bible says, you want to serve God in this journey together, serve with what? With reverence, serve with godly fear. Do it for the Lord, fear God, and just do it for God. You may not get anyone to pat your shoulder, you may not have any thank you, never mind. Even people may misunderstand you, people may say, they laugh at you. But never mind, we serve the Lord with godly fear, we do it for the Lord. We fear God and we serve the Lord with that attitude. And this is very important that we must learn as we serve the Lord. There will be a lot of times that people will not appreciate what you do. And after you start playing the piano, beginning, right, everybody says, good, wonderful, praise God. But after 1 year, 2 years, you are transparent already. Nobody remember you are playing there. But you continue. Why? Because you're serving God, you're not serving man. You continue to play for the Lord, you continue to serve the Lord with reverence, do your best, finish your job, do it well, with godly fear for the Lord. And that's how we will serve the Lord, and that's how we will persevere on in our journey. You know what the hardest thing to serve is in the own church? You know, Jesus said the prophet is not welcome in his hometown. One of the hardest things for a preacher is to preach in the church, because after a while, people will not remember and take it for granted. When I preach in other church, it's good. You go mission, good. When you come to the own church, nobody say good. Then you feel discouraged. I preach outside better. No. Serve the Lord what? With godly fear. Not for man. Not to get attention for yourself, not to get people to praise you, but with godly fear. With godly fear, that's how we serve God. That's how you and I are going to continue. Because if you look for men, for praises, you will stop. You will give up. People will criticize you. People will say things that are negative against what you do. But I'm doing it with reverence, with godly fear. And this is pleasing to God, and this is how you and I must serve the Lord. But you say, but my service is so small. I only do usher. I only do art and craft. I only write a hymn book. Come with the same attitude. It is not what area of service. The Bible never says only when you preach, you do it with godly fear, with reverence. The Bible says when you serve God, you do it with reverence and godly fear. That's how you and I must approach the Lord in our service. Now, there's one word that I want you to pay attention to here, and that's the word grace. Can you find the word grace there? In verse 28, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, whereby we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, right? That is our life goal, our life purpose. What is your life purpose if people ask you? Yes, that is heavenly kingdom. That is my life purpose, because that is fixed, that is permanent. And then, let us have what? Can you see? Let us have grace. This word grace means, let us be grateful. Let us be grateful. Why do we serve? You ask yourself, why do you serve? Is it because Tabernacle Beauty Church pay you every month $200? That's why you wish to have a talk. You check your account, have now. Ask the treasurer. You usher got $20 every time you usher.
Why do you serve? Why do you serve? I mean, we are not paid to be served. We're not paid to be served. When people ask me to preach, I just say, hey, my hourly rate is $100 per hour. That's how I charge. We're not paid, we don't go for that. But we serve, the Bible says, we serve, let us have grace. Let us serve because we are what? We are grateful. We are grateful to God. Why do we serve? Why do we sacrifice our time? Why do you want to finish a job? Why do you want to serve God and not serve man? Why do you still continue to serve when people laugh at you, criticize you? Your piano so lousy. You make mistakes. Why do you still continue? I mean, you and I, we are not paid. And then we get criticism. But we do it. Why? The Bible says, because of what? We are grateful to who? To God. Let us have grace. Let us have grace. Let us remind ourselves that it is because of the Lord and what He has done for us. We continue to serve, we are grateful to Him. And that is how we can continue to serve. Be grateful to God, what God has done for you. Every time you feel discouraged, you want to give up serving, you remember God. The Lord did not give up on us. We must be grateful to Him.
Serve the Lord, dearly beloved. I encourage you in this journey, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord humbly. Never mind if nobody appreciates you. Serve the Lord. I have one opportunity that I traveled to the United States. There's only one time I went there for a conference. I was at Washington, D.C. Took some time to go to the museum. And all the senators, you know, America, they call senators, that's like our ministers. All the big photos, their name, and which year they served, they're all there. Every one of them. Wow, all these great men, wow, how much they've done. And suddenly I came to one photo. He's not a senator, but they put him there. I can't remember his name. But he's just a doorkeeper. And then I was so surprised when I read, they say, he is the first to arrive in the senator room, because all that like parliament meeting. He's the first to arrive to open the door, and he's the last to leave to lock the door. And he was faithful to serve in this place for 30 or 40, many years, non-stop, just continue to serve. And then they pull up his photo and they describe him. I thought that was wonderful. He's not any great senator. I mean, to anyone, he's just that doorkeeper, and they acknowledge him. And I thought that's how we all should serve. How we ought to serve, just be like that. Maybe just a doorkeeper. The first to arrive, nobody notice you. Get everything all ready. People just come, boom, 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 all sit down, right? After that, finish service, boom, 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 all out. Right? And you're the last one. Make sure everything is what? Neat, proper, care. But the Lord remember. And that's how we serve. We serve the Lord humbly, with reverence, with godly fear. Can you serve the Lord this way? Can you continue the journey this way? Of service, of wanting to serve the Lord, and wanting to follow what the Lord wants us to do. So don't come to church and just warm up the pew. But very sadly, that's how a lot of Christians are. I come to church, warm up the pew, maybe it will be warm for 1.5 hour, boom, go. Right? That's it. Don't disturb me, don't touch me, don't ask me to do anything. Right? I've already done my duty, I give my tithes, I come and worship, that's enough. It is not enough. The Bible says to us, be grateful. If you are a Christian, be grateful to God. When you are grateful to God, you want to do something, and God says you what? You serve. And you serve humbly, you serve God with reverence, you serve God with godly fear, and you do it for God, and you don't mind even if nobody say any word to you. And so I want you to turn your Bible to one verse that I always remember in my service. Every time I get discouraged, every time I feel that nobody appreciates, I remember this verse in Luke. Can you turn to Luke? You remember this verse, and that's what a servant must say. Luke chapter 17, in verse 10. Luke chapter 17, in verse 10. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. So likewise, he, when he had done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, dearly beloved, after you have served everything, what do you say? Remember me, I say, remember me. You say that? After you have done every service, what do you want? You want to get attention, right? But the Bible say what? Say what? Say what? We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Keep quiet and move on. Don't need to get attention. Don't need people to notice you. Don't need to say, hey, I'm here. Just say to the Lord, Lord, I'm unprofitable. You have done so much for me. I've just done so little. I'm unprofitable. I've just done what I ought to do. And then you continue to serve. That's how you and I must serve the Lord acceptably with reverence and godly fear. I want to thank the Lord for each one of you. Actually, I'm very encouraged by each one of you who have served the Lord in different areas. They're all different. The Lord given us different spiritual gifts. But I want to encourage you, go on serving the Lord. I've seen you and know that you all love the Lord, serve the Lord. But you know what's my worry? My worry is that as you move on in life, and that's what I'm always hearing the adult telling me, what can I not do? What can I give up now? This year, I want to serve less. You know, that's what I'm hearing as people grow older and older. The younger ones say, I want to do more, I want to serve the Lord. The older ones say, I want to give up, I want to retire. I want to let the younger ones do. Very nice, I see that. Let them train them up. But actually, they're all excuses. They're all excuses. But that is my worry. That's my worry for you as you move on in your life, that we have lesser and lesser adults who want to serve, they want to do less for the Lord. And it may become you, because they are moving on. As I say, congratulations. They're not leading on the whole life, means you have reached adulthood already. Only the kids, Ebenezer, Cam, the last night they don't sleep. Oh, you stay right last night? You pass the test. You stay. We're just too young. But that is my worry. I want to give you a parable. A parable that I hope will stay with you all your life. And the parable that Jesus said, the last shall be the first, or the first shall be the last. You understand why Jesus said this? The first, you started well, you do so well, but you end up to be the last. Can you turn this to Matthew chapter 20? Yeah? I think you know this parable very well, but I just want to highlight Matthew chapter 20, and I just want you to remember verse 16. That's how the Lord Jesus concludes this parable. Matthew chapter 20, verse 16. It's not difficult to remember this phrase, but you keep it in your heart as you serve the Lord. Because as you grow older, you find you have more responsibilities, you have your children to take care of, you have your family to take care of, your career to take care of, you have your health to take care of, you have your hobbies, you have more and more other things, and then what will happen to you is that you started so well, you are the first, but you end up to be the last. Look at verse 16, Matthew chapter 20, verse 16. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many before but few chosen. The parable that is given to us in Matthew chapter 20, from verse 1 to verse 16, is a very simple, clear parable. It's actually about service, about the attitude to serve. Then the master of the vineyard came out, and then at 6 a.m., he saw laborers doing nothing. He said, "Wait, come and serve. Serve the whole day. I'll give you what? Your wages. Right? For one penny, you'll be given your wages." But along the day, there are other laborers at 9 a.m., at 12 p.m., noon time, and then finally at 5 p.m., the work stop at 6 p.m., at 5 p.m., the last hour, even there, people were idling, and the master said, "Come and serve, come, and I'll give you whatever the wage is." So, you find that the first group of people, they were so happy, and now I got a job, I can serve in the vineyard, not only that, I got my wage. Right, I'm promised, I'm given the one penny of work of my wage. I'm going to be so grateful to this master. I'm so thankful for a job. Now I can put to eat for my family. It started so well. And that's you right now. But I don't want you to end up at the end of it. What were they doing? They were complaining. They were not happy. You look at verse 10. Let's read verse 10. Matthew 20, verse 10. Together. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. So the last group of people, they only work 1 hour, and the master gave them one penny. And now I work about 12 hours. Come on, do your maths, 1 hour, you get one penny. 12 hours, get how much? 12 pennies. So they use what? They become very what? Calculative, right? You work 1 hour, you get one penny, I work 12 hours, I should get 12. But in the end, the master only give them whatever was promised to them, one penny. And so, when you are calculating in service, I do so much, I must get so much, I do so much for the Lord, I must get the attention, I do so much, I must be the next deacon of the church, I do so much, right? The church better recognize me, and you don't get it, you become calculative, you will end up to be what? The first become the last. Because you're so calculative. When we serve God, don't be calculative. Understand? Don't be calculative. I can't I come here, I make sure, right? I get all the attention. Don't be calculating. When you serve the Lord, give your heart out. No need to calculate one. No need to calculate that in proportion I must get back how much. And then the second problem with that, verse 11. What was their problem? Verse 11 together. And when they have received it, they murmur against the good man of the house. The second problem, when you become the first and you end up as the last wife, you murmur. When you want to serve the Lord, don't murmur. Don't complain. You murmur. It's too hard. I do this, I don't get this. Don't murmur, don't murmur. Serve the Lord. Remember, this word murmur is very dangerous. You end up very unhappy. You end up grudging. You end up in your heart. You very dull, very discouraged. Because you murmur. You want to compare with other people. How come others get it? I don't get it. Right? You murmur. So, be careful of that. And then look at verse 15. The third reason why they become the last. They started as the first. They end up as the last. Number one, they are calculative. Number two, they what? They murmur against other people. They compare, they murmur. So serve the Lord, don't compare, don't murmur. Just focus on the Lord. And then, the third reason. Verse 15. Together? Ready, go. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thy eye evil because I am good? You know what's the problem with that in serving? Your eye is evil. What is the meaning? You are very what? Self-conceived. Very proud. You think highly of yourself. Yeah, I'm the first one, right? I serve the most, I'm the most experienced. This guy only come in what? 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Good leader. Self-conceit. When you become self-conceit, as you grow older, you end up to be the last. You think you're the first, you end up to be the last. And so the Bible says, your eye is evil. You think too highly of yourself. You think highly of yourself? I'm coming in. Tallest, most handsome. Don't be self-conceited. Remember, when you serve the Lord, you're starting well, dearly beloved. You're all starting very well. I think you're the first, but don't end up to be the last. Why? Because of what? Calculating. Very what? Comparing, murmuring, and then very self-conceited. Always thinking how good I am, how great I am, how much I've done, I, then you end up to be the last. The first shall be the last. I want to warn you this because it has happened in my eyes, it has happened in our church. I don't want it to happen to you. The first will be the last. But when Jesus said this, I know that these are all things that will happen. And the Lord tells us this, actually, this will happen. But let it not happen to you. Because when the Lord tells us, He's telling us the condition of man. The heart of man is so evil. As we grow older, we want to serve less. We want to take care of ourselves. We want to ensure that I am taken care of. But we're not willing to give. Because to serve means to give, to sacrifice. It's not easy. But the Lord help us that in this journey together, let us walk that servanthood. Let us be willing to serve the Lord. Let us be grateful to God. Always focus on God. Let us serve God with reverence and godly fear. Remember that. Now I want to go on to the next verse. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 13. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 13. And this is the verse that tells us and gives us the example of service. Who is our example? When we want to serve, who do we look for example? Look at Hebrews chapter 13 verse 13. Now this journey, remember, is a journey of what? Servanthood. It's a journey of service for the Lord. It's not a journey for us to enjoy ourselves, to be a king, to be people to serve us, but we must serve the Lord acceptably, with reverence, with godly fear. And then we look to one person, Hebrews chapter 13 verse 13. Are you ready? Let's read together. Ready, go. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Now this him is very clear. If you look earlier in verse 12, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we say, now as we serve, let us together go to who? Look to who, for example? Go forth and look to Jesus as our example. Look to Jesus. What happened to the Lord Jesus Christ? Therefore, let us go forth unto him without the camp. Now, this word without is an old English, which means what? Outside the camp. Outside the camp. Why is it outside? The Lord Jesus, when he died on the cross, he was outside the city of Jerusalem. They took him, bring him out of the city of Jerusalem, kneel him at Golgotha, at Calvary's cross, and he sacrificed and died for us there. And so he will be our example of service. Let us learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't learn from Uncle John. You learn from Uncle John, I will tell you that there will be time I will fail you. There will be time I will stumble you. Because I'm still a man of flesh and blood, I want to say this honestly to you. But together, let us look at whom? The Bible says in verse 13. Go and look at this person called our Savior, the Lord Jesus, the most precious person. He gave himself in serving us, and he sacrificed his life at Golgotha, outside the city, outside Jerusalem, bearing his reproach. He was reproached. Gave his life and suffered for us. That is our example of service. The Lord Jesus, when he came, what did he say? I came not to be ministered unto, not to be served. But Jesus said, I came to what? To serve. That's our example. The Lord said to us, follow me. Look at the Lord Jesus. He came to serve. The Lord Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish it. What is your meat? What meat? To go back to eat my best burger? My meat. The purpose in life. What's your purpose in life? My meat. Jesus said, my meat, my purpose in life, my goal in life. To do God's will, serve the Lord, finish the job. Our goal in life is to serve the Lord. Grateful to the Lord, serve the Lord. Jesus is our example. He went and took him out of Jerusalem. He nailed him to the cross and he died for us. He sacrificed for us. Ask yourself, as you serve the Lord, I want to say something, that we must serve with sacrifice. Today you serve God and you say, chicken feet. You know, chicken feet? Just out of convenience. It doesn't require me to do anything. Maybe it's not real service. But real service, when we follow the Lord Jesus, he suffered, he went to the cross, he gave his life for us, and bear all the reproach. That is real service. That is real service. When you take a bit out of you, requires a bit more of you, requires sacrifice, requires pain, requires you to bear reproach. That is real service. And that's how the Lord Jesus reminds us, when we want to serve, are we ready to take this half of service with sacrifice? Can you do more for God in your service? Yeah, no problem to serve in this area because anyway, the day I'm free. Sometimes we say that. It's alright anyway. I just contribute a little. But can you do more for the Lord? And that's what I'm going to challenge you today. When you leave this camp, can you do more for the Lord? Can you get out of your comfort zone and say, I want to serve the Lord more. I'm more ready to sacrifice. I want to follow the example of Jesus. He was taken out of the camp. He bent the reproach. And that's how he did for me. I want to follow my Savior's path. I want to serve and I'm willing to sacrifice. Every year people ask me, Elder John, how come you can go for so many mission trips? Elder John only has 28 days of leave. Not 1,000 days. But I say to the Lord, I'm going to give you money. I don't have time to go for a holiday in the US or Europe. But Lord, I only have such a life, and this is my life now. And this is where I still have my energy. I'm still alive. I still can run about. But I'm going to reach 50 soon. My energy may go down very soon. I do not know what will happen to me in my life. But Lord, as you give me life, as you give me these 28 days, I want to dedicate, I want to give it to you. I want to serve you, I want to use it all for your name's sake. So sometimes service requires sacrifice. Sacrifice. I'm not saying that you cannot go for a holiday. Please go ahead. Go for a holiday, go ahead. Go for a holiday. That's me. Alright, that's me. And that's what the Lord has touched my heart to do. the Lord will touch your heart and do differently. You know, when I look at the sea, you enjoy it? What do you think of?
How nice I sit on the yacht and relax.
Right?
I travel. How nice I go there along the beach.
But when I look outside there, I ask myself, I saw the island there, I saw some houses there. I ask myself, are there people who can go there and preach the gospel to the people? Because has the people over there preached and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? I ask myself this question because I always had the burden and say, Lord, can we walk? Can we move out? Can we reach out to more people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are there some people in the village that have yet to hear the gospel? Are there some people who are deprived? They don't have the opportunity. Can I do something for them? Can I reach out to them? That's the burden God has put in my heart. And that requires sacrifice. And I know it's not easy. And I struggle. Right? No sacrifice. It's without struggle. We all struggle. We all struggle. And the Lord help us. Learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, He gave Himself. Go forth. The Bible says, let us go forth. Look at the Lord Jesus. He gave His life, He sacrificed, He bare the reproach for us, and that's what is true service. Can you do more for the Lord? Young people, young adults, can you do more for the Lord? I need to get my degree, I need to get this thing, I need to achieve this for myself. Can you also achieve more for the Lord? Can you serve the Lord with more zeal, more passion? Can you sacrifice more time for the Lord? Can you sacrifice more money and resources for the Lord? Can you sacrifice some of your leave for the Lord? We can only do it because Jesus has done it for us. We can only do it because we look to Jesus. He has done it for us. He gave His whole life as a sacrifice for us. And so this is what I want to challenge you when you go out on this path. Can you do it for the Lord? Now, lastly, the last verse for our message. Hebrews chapter 13. As you serve the Lord, serve the Lord with joy. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 30. Sometimes the word 5, is it 15 now?
Yes,
yes, huh? When I see 5, I see 3, I see 6. Right? Okay, let's read together. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. That's the last verse of the last class. Ready, go. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Let us serve the Lord with what? And offer the sacrifice of praise. As we serve the Lord, don't say what? Poor me.
Must give up my name.
Poor me. Must go to play this poor mission house or dirty mosquito. Poor me. I gotta give my tithes. I gotta give more. The Bible says, let us serve the Lord. Acceptably, let us serve the Lord with what? With the sacrifice of praise to the Lord. You want to serve the Lord with what? With joy, with gladness in the heart. Serve the Lord willingly, serve the Lord gladly, serve the Lord with praise. And that's how we're going to serve the Lord. This is going to be what we're going to do. And the Bible says this, can you note this word continually? Can you see? Every time you read God's word, always notice that God is telling us something. And now, it's not just a sacrifice of praise to God, not that when 20 times are good, you get all the blessing, you get all the good result, good outcome, and people say good things about you. No, times are bad, times are difficult. The Bible says, continually. Can you see the word continually? That is what? You must keep praising the Lord as you serve the Lord, whatever circumstances, offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continually. Non-stop. This is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Do you praise God? Are you joyful as you serve the Lord? You come to this camp, some of you have different duties, are you joyful? Or is it only those who serve as chairman are joyful because everybody can see you? Don't serve in the kitchen, poor thing. Dirty your head. No, serve the Lord continually with praise, with joy in the Lord. Serve the Lord with joy. In our life, there are three things the Bible says that we must do without stopping. You know that? three things you must do without stopping. Not attend camp. Attend camp, you stop. After this, stop already. That's going to be a camp for 365 days. It's not possible. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There's the three things the Bible says that you and I must do unceasingly without stopping. And that's how we're going to live our life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16. Read together. Ready, go. Rejoice evermore. So this is the first thing. The Bible says what? Rejoice evermore. Rejoice. This is how we must live our Christian life. Rejoice evermore. There is always the thing to give thanks, to be joyful. So your life must always be filled with joy in the Lord. Rejoice evermore. Number 2, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Second thing we must do in our whole life, pray without ceasing. Not attack camp without ceasing. We can't. Right? We cannot attack camp. Even worship to the Lord is not without ceasing, right? It's only the Lord set aside one day of the week, right? And the Lord's day for worship. But for prayer, the Lord say what? Pray without ceasing. Not even reading the Bible. The Bible never said, read the Bible without ceasing. Because we read the Bible, yes, there's a time for it, but not continually. But prayer in our heart, prayer must always be in our heart without ceasing. Any time you can pray, any moment you can pray, any time you can call unto the Lord. And then verse 18. What is the third thing we must do without stopping? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Everything means everything. Everything means everything. Good or bad. Happy time, sad time. When you have a job, when you don't have a job. When you have loved ones with you, or times when you lose your loved ones, they depart from you. In everything, give thanks. And that's what the Bible tells us when we go back to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, our last verse to consider, that the Lord wants us to serve with that sacrifice of praise to God continually. How is your life today? Are you one full of joy, full of praise to God? Are you one that you feel that life is miserable for you? For me, suffer the harm. For the run 2.4, right? For the wear that helmet was so heavy. Nowadays, your helmet is very light. My time, the helmet is very heavy. I hated wearing that helmet. Though. Every time the officer not around, I put that helmet away. Every time you get so older, I don't wear that helmet. A lot of times, you say, for me. Call me, it's so good. You got a good job, but call me, my boss is terrible. Call me, my family is poor. Call me, I'm suffering in the army. Call me, call me, call me. Are you sure you're ready that call me? Can you not offer to God a sacrifice of praise to God? Is the Lord so treated you so badly? Has the Lord forsaken you? Has God not given you grace and mercy? Can we not praise the Lord? Can we not have the joy in our heart? Can we not praise God continually? Can we not be grateful to the Lord? Can we not see all the blessings that God has given to us? Live your life with joy, dearly beloved. Live your life with joy. You know, in the army, when I was in OCS, Officer Cadet School, this is one of the toughest times in Officer Cadet School. We hardly sleep for the whole 9 months of training. 3 hours to sleep. One time, we did something wrong. I was confined for 3 weekends together with my roommate. He cried. The sergeant said, "You can't be confined for 3 weekends. Wow, you know, 3 weekends? You know what? Terrible feeling, right? My roommate is literally a man. He cried. They call me the smiling tiger. Why? How come I'm always smiling? And I confined 3 weeks still smiling. Of course it's miserable inside. But there's always a song in our heart. There's always a joy in our heart. Because we have the Lord. The Lord never forsake us. There's always grace and mercy, no matter how hard time is. And so that is the song, that is the praise to God that we must always give unto the Lord. We must always give unto the Lord. There's a joy in our life that we must not let it depart from us. If you always murmur, always complain, the joy will depart from you. If you always say yourself is miserable, poor me, the joy will depart from you. But when you just look up and you see the Lord, and you see how much you have, you'll be grateful. You'll be a person, a child of God, praising the Lord. And so in this journey together, we have a song. We have a song to praise God. We have a joy in our heart together. Yes, the service may be difficult. Yes, there's sacrifice, there's pain, there's suffering, there's reproach. There are people who don't appreciate us, but it is also filled with joy and gladness as we serve the Lord. Now as we come to the end of this care and the end of the message, I want to say this, that as I want to conclude, that this journey, we must move forward together. No, it's not easy. I want to say this from my heart, that it has been a very hard time to prepare the messages. And I want to always speak from my heart. I do not wish, you know, to go through just the theology. I want to speak from my heart to you. And I know, I want to say that all of you are very dear to me. Right? Most of you have seen me growing up from young. But the most difficult part of the camp is not in the camp. The most difficult part of the camp is outside the camp. And you depart from here, will you continue to serve the Lord? Will you be willing to put more time, more effort for the Lord? Will you be willing to sacrifice for the Lord? When you leave this camp, will you still continue and say that I'm going to do my quiet time, I'm going to love the Lord, I'm going to put effort to study God's word? When you leave this camp, will you say to the Lord, I'm going to be a person with joy and praise to the Lord? I'm not going to murmur and complain. When you leave this camp, will you be able to say, I'm going to look after someone that God has put in my heart? You know, Brother Bunhao is coming back. Right? You know that? Who is Bunhao? Yeah, after 6 months he forgot about it. He has gone for 6 months. If we don't take care of him when he's back, it's very easy for him because 6 months is away from us. And he can just stray and feel lost of fellowship. We can learn to put in a bit more effort to help to integrate back the fellowship. I want to say this is true. Anyone who has gone abroad for a while, you will have that feeling. Anyone who has gone to the army has the same feeling. You were not here last night, I shared with the people. I was miserable in the army. I wanted to leave church, I wanted to go away and backslash. I know the feeling. I know the feeling how good I will feel when it's bad. And so for me, I SMS to him. Say, Bunhao, I'm going to the airport to pick you. I'm not sure, I'm coming back at 2 a.m. Never mind, I'll wake up for you. You do that? You don't have to do that, right? Each of us got to lay a different burden. But when you leave this camp, take care of someone. Be responsible, do something for someone. You don't leave this camp and say, hey, everyone, take care of me, look after me, poor me, look after me. No, you go and take care of someone. You go and show love. You go out and reach out to somebody. You are accountable, look after someone. I'm sure the Lord will lay in your heart different people. You know, that's how God works in a very marvelous way. You won't be the same person. For me, maybe this person, right? For you, will be another person. That's how we're going to look after everybody. And so when God lays a burden in your heart, do something. That's how you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Every time, and God reminds us, oh, this person didn't come to church. The very night, I will SMS this person, I didn't see you in church today. How are you? Anything happened to you? He said, go out, show your love. We are moving together. We are moving forward together. Don't be selfish. Don't just think of yourself. So the most difficult part of this camp is not in the camp. Because we are going to be joyful people. We are going to be singing people. The most difficult part is when we move off this camp. Can we continue to be joyful people for God? Can we continue to love, to support, to help each other? Can we continue to love God, to study His Word, to grow in faith together? One day, dearly beloved, one day, at the end of our life journey, when the Lord comes, let's pray that we will all be together. Enjoy gratefulness to the Lord, reaching heaven again. Let's pray together. As we end the camp in the last message, I just thought it is important that we make a commitment. If God has touched your heart, it's only between you and God. I'm not asking you to raise your hand, But now you pray to God yourself. Can you make a commitment to God right now between you and God? Make a simple prayer. What will you resolve to do when you leave this camp? Not in this camp, I know it's easy in this camp, but when you leave this camp, now you pray to the Lord, between you and God, what do you want to tell the Lord? What do you want to commit to the Lord? What do you want to resolve to do for God? Tell it to the Lord right now. The Lord knows what you say. The Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows what you have meant. And you say the word, keep the word. Be a man, woman, that keeps your word. And mean it, and say what you mean to the Lord. And the Lord will hold you. And the Lord will help you also. The Lord will give you grace and strength. So I'm going to give you a short time first. Make that resolve, that promise, and commitment to the Lord first between you and God. Father in heaven, you know what we have just said. Heavenly Father, you know what we have just prayed. Each one of us. From our heart to you. The promise, the commitment to you. Lord, you hear our voice. You hear our heart's cry. You have heard it, Lord. And we know, Lord, that you know. And now we pray by your grace, by your mercy. Grant us, Lord, that we can remember, fulfill, and do what, Lord, we have prayed to you for. We have resolved to you. We have committed to you. We have promised you, Lord. Lord, may this also be a milestone in our life. A time, Lord, that we truly say, Lord, we want to move forward together in Christ. We want to have Jesus the most precious person to us. And we want to move and grow together. We want to love each other. Lord, we want to be a people who is always serving you. A people who is always willing, Lord, to praise you, Lord. Be with us. Help us, Lord. For without you, Lord, we can do nothing. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing on your word. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.